There's certain things you should be doing right now that we don't feel like doing, such as what? Being agreeable, forgiving each other, smiling, doing our duty. Some of us are getting sick of social distancing. We're really sick of being at home. It's the right thing to do, but it's very sacrificial. And my read of a lot of people this week, that this week has been more difficult than previous weeks, and we're all starting to feel it. I'm starting to feel it. At this very moment, I actually want to make a joke about our servers, Jack and Linus, but I'm just not really feeling it. We want to avoid the usual excuse that we give. There are certain things we should be doing, but we're not doing. And the excuse we usually give is the problem is outside of us. Now, let's be honest. For most of us, COVID-19 is not the reason why we're not that virtuous. The real reason is inside of us. We're not that virtuous. Not yet. We're not fully like Jesus. And so what we want to do is, today we really want to focus on Jesus and imitate him and let him dwell in us. There is this fascinating fact in today's gospel. Jesus sang. He sang a hymn. This is what it says, St. Matthew. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So at this very end of the first Mass, Jesus and the 11 apostles, they sing a hymn. That's so beautiful. Only St. Matthew and St. Mark record this. St. Luke did not record this. So two of them felt, we have to record this. The only recorded time when Jesus sang. Now, what did Jesus sing? Now, because he is celebrating the Passover liturgy, we know that at the end of the meal, he was singing Psalms 115 to Psalms 118. And if you really want to appreciate the fact that Jesus sang, you have to know the context. So right before they sing these four psalms, what just happened? It says this. While they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." Someone was just about to betray Jesus. He announces it, and he still sang. So if we can think, this past week, maybe someone's betrayed us. Maybe it hasn't been that dramatic, but surely this past week, someone's let us down. People have hurt us. People have annoyed us. And at those moments, did any of us sing? Did any of us praise God in psalm? Jesus sang. And imagine if we were this week, when people are going to annoy us again this week. They're going to let us down. They're going to hurt us. So imagine this week if we actually did what Jesus did. And we started singing these four psalms. Psalm 115 is about a criticism of idolatry. Idolatry is when you worship things other than God. And what we're doing is when we pray Psalm 115, we're saying, I'm not going to worship false idols. I'm going to worship the true God. In other words, we're more committed this week than ever before to God. Psalm 116, that's about thanking God. Are we going to thank God this week when things are going poorly? Psalm 117 praises God for his steadfast love and faithfulness. And finally, Psalm 118, it's about being in distress and then being rescued and then thanking God. If things were so bad for Jesus, and they were, why was he singing? And there are two possible reasons. One, because he felt like singing. And two, because he chose to sing. Well, let's explain possibility number one. Archbishop Fulton Sheen says, Jesus was singing with joy at the prospect of redemption. So he realized that he was about to do the greatest thing possible for us and bring us back to God the Father. So he felt like singing. So listen to this quote from the letter to the Hebrews in the Bible. It's a let's go kind of attitude. Let's go. This is what it says. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. So this is Jesus' attitude. He sees the good that's about to accomplish, and he's going to sing even amidst the difficulty. Now, that's option number one. But we also know that Jesus did not feel this way all the time. How do we know this? Because within about an hour or two after the Last Supper, he's going to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's going to start sweating blood out of fear, because his human nature is feeling fear. And he will pray this, what we just heard in the Passion. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. So it is very possible that the way Jesus is feeling that fear in the garden, he's already starting to feel that fear at the Last Supper. That's very possible. And if that is the case, it's the second possibility that Jesus sang because he chose to sing. He's doing it out of love for God the Father, and he was doing it out of obedience to the Passover liturgy. So we want to look more now at the face of Jesus. We want to contemplate his face, because this week is going to be hard. And he's going to be our hope if we can look at his face. So there are three qualities we want to think about when we imagine Jesus' face. First of all, if you look at Jesus' face at the Last Supper, it's actually a joyful face, a face of gentleness. In January, we said that if you watch The Passion of the Christ, the film, at the beginning of the Last Supper, Jesus is sitting there and he looks around at the apostles and he has this big, warm smile. Second quality on Jesus' face, it's a face of strength. So Jesus is a serious man. He's a man on mission. He knows what God the Father is asking him to do, and there's no way he's not going to do it. He is going to see it through to the very end. And number three, Jesus is human, so he's got this incredible humanity, and if he's human, he also has a face of sorrow. And the beautiful thing about this is he doesn't try to hide his pain. You know how sometimes we try to pretend that we're not suffering that much? Jesus doesn't focus on it, but he also doesn't try to hide it. He shows his true human nature. His divinity doesn't obscure it. So he's just so honest with who he is, and we see that. One way to explain the goal of Christianity, if someone ever asks you, what's the goal of Christianity? The goal of Christianity is to become like Christ and to have our face look like Jesus' face. Last year, I told you about seven French Trappist monks who lived in Algeria. And in 1996, they were beheaded by Islamic terrorists. Now, these seven men, these were not superheroes. Like, it was so easy for them to die for Christ. These men loved Jesus deeply. They prayed, but they were also very human. They argued with each other. They felt fear. One of them couldn't sleep. He was so traumatized by what was about to come. They had to make a decision. Are we going to stay in Algeria and death is coming? Or are we going to leave the people we were called to serve? And they chose to stay. And they went through a kind of hell. But in the end, they looked like Jesus. Their last days were made into perhaps the best ever film showing the beauty of Christian life. A beauty lived in service to God and in service to other people. And now I want to show you a 4-minute clip. And in this clip, what's happening is, at this point, this is their Last Supper scene. So they've decided we're going to stay, and they know death is coming. And what happens is, you'll see in this scene, is that the head of the community, he's praying grace in French. And then one of the monks, all of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere, he turns on a cassette tape, and he starts playing Tchaikovsky's ballet, Swan Lake. Very intense music. And then he gives his brothers 2 bottles of wine. I want you to pay attention to their faces, because their faces look like Christ. And when the camera goes around, looks at their faces, you see this great joy. They're so happy to be with each other. They're enjoying their wine, and they've supported each other from the very end, and they're going to do so from the beginning, and they're going to support each other to the very end. But look also, they have the second quality of Jesus' face. They have strength. They know what's about to come, and they're not wavering from God the Father's will. And then number three, they've got this sorrow. They don't try to hide their pain. It's mingled there with the joy, the gentleness, and the strength. So watch the faces, and then watch how the camera zooms in on their eyes.